Before I get started, I need to make a disclaimer. In order to make my wife happy, this has been on my mind for about a year and a half, maybe even longer than that. It's something that I think the Hebrew Roots movement really lacks in understanding, and I think it's a something that it's comes from me, and I hopefully it's my father has inspired me to think about these things, and it's not something that anybody in this group has asked me to do, so I don't want anybody to think that. Okay, let's get started. You need to ask yourself a question. Do you believe that there's a creator? If you say yes, then I want you to ask, is it okay to steal from him? Oh, you know, I got to go backwards a bit. I'm going to need some volunteers to help me read some scriptures. Would somebody like to volunteer? All right. David, I'm going to give you Malachi 3, 8 through 12. Anybody else? Julie, would you do Matthew 24, 1 to 2? Phil, you can do Numbers 18, 21 to 23. And on the numbers, I'd like you to keep your place there too, Phil, okay? I need somebody to read Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 27. Okay, Anna. I need someone to read Deuteronomy 26, 12 to 14. Okay. And I need someone to read Colossians 2, 16 to 17. All right. And the last one is Deuteronomy 15, 7 to 10. Any takers? All right. All right. And my wife will read Corinthians 9, through 7 through 14. Echoes. Let me entertain you. Okay. All right. David, would you read Malachi 3, 8 to 12?
Please.
Would a man rob Elohim? Yet you are robbing me. But you said, and what have we robbed you? In the tithe and in the offering. You have cursed me with a curse, for you are robbing me, this nation, all of it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and let there be food in my house. Please prove me in this, said Yahweh of hosts, whether I do not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you boundless blessing. And I shall rebuke the devourer for you, so that it does not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor does the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, said Yahweh of hosts. And all the nations shall be called blessed, for you shall be the light of the land of delight, said Yahweh of hosts.
In verse 10, it talks about his house. Well, where is his house? And where is it now? Who had Matthew 24, 1 to 4? 1 to 2, excuse me. Julie? Yeah.
Yeshua left the temple and was going away, and his disciples came and pointed out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, you see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down.
So this scripture tells us that his house was going to be destroyed. Back in Malachi 3:9, which David had read, tells us that we are cursed with a curse because we rob God. So how can we be cursed if there's no place for you to take your tithes and offerings? And by the way, wasn't the tithes and offerings, weren't they just for the Levites? I need someone to read 18, 21 to 23.
18 what?
Oh, Numbers. You can't read my mind? Oh, Phil, go ahead.
And see, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the service which they are serving, the service of the tenth appointment. And let the children of Israel no more come near the tenth appointment, lest they bear sin and die. Because the Levites shall do the service of the tenth appointment, so they themselves bear their crookedness. a law forever throughout your generation, that among the children of Israel they are to have no inheritance.
So, and where are these Levites now? And if the tithes were for the wages for the work that on the tabernacle, and there's no longer a tabernacle, what should we do? And wasn't it based on an agricultural system, a farm and animals? So think about that for a minute. So should we be tithing today, or did the tithing only have one purpose, or is there something deeper? Let's turn back to Numbers 18:23, where Phil has just read. It says, "But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of the congregation." This is an interesting word, this congregation. In some of your Bibles, it might say meetings. But the word is moedi, it's moed. It's 4150 in Strong's, and it means appointed time, appointments, fixed times, seasons, festivals, assembly. It also is the same word used in Leviticus 23 when it's talking about the holy days and God's feast days. So exactly what is the work of the Levites? I need somebody, who did I give to read Numbers 3, 6 through 7? Was that Anna? Or no? Oh. It was your, Julie? Who would like to read it? Numbers 3, 6, and 7. Okay.
"Bring the tribe of Levi near and set before them Aaron the priest, and they shall serve him, and shall guard his duty and the duty of all the congregation before the tent of meeting to do the service of the dwelling place."
So the Levites had two functions. They were to serve Aaron and keep his ordinances, and they were to safeguard the congregation of Israel. The word congregation in verse 7 is used twice, but what's interesting about this word is there are two different words. One is 4150, which I just read about moed, which means set apart times and feast days, but the other word is Strong's 5712, and it is totally a different word. It means assembly, family, crowds, multitude of people. And this word is Edad, E-D-A-H. Ehad or Edad, whatever. I can't speak it. But it's a different word. And the reason I'm bringing this up to you is so that you can see that the tithes were there to provide for the people a place to worship and to meet with our Father, and also for somebody to take care of that place so it would be acceptable for us to come in, to clean it, to watch it, whatever. How does this relate to stealing from God? Back in Numbers 3:7, the Levites were to attend to the needs of the people of Israel and Aaron. So was the tithing just a payment for services like you would pay a plumber? Is that all they're for? Is that what we're supposed to do with them? We pay people to take care of certain issues? I think the whole purpose for us to keep, it was for us to keep the feast days. The feast days are here for us to learn, to get to know our Father and His plan. Our Father has put together a system for His people to prosper that no one would lack anything, and that system is tithing, which is a rehearsal of faith. And since tithing was based on an agriculture, are we no longer obligated to do it? Since we're not in the land, there's no temple, the Levites are not here. In Matthew 11:14, it says that John the Baptist was in the office of Elijah. Are there some among us who are in the office of the Levites? In 1 Timothy 5:17 states, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of a double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." I always thought it was interesting that it says, who rule well. Just in case they didn't rule well, I guess you don't have to give them honor. I I'd like my wife to read now Corinthians 9, 7 through 14.
Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock. Do I say these things are a mere man? As a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Messiah. Do you know that those who minister the holy things eat of the holy things in the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel.
Even so, that the Lord has commanded that those that preach the gospel should live from the gospel. You know, when I first came in to believe in the system, and I'd look at all these people on television or selling their DVDs or whatever there was, trying to promote their understanding of the good news of our Father's understanding, I always felt that they were trying to take my money. You know, basically, that's what they were doing. They're asking me to give them money for whatever they were trying to teach me. But I've read this verse many times, and it just occurred to me just today or yesterday that it's the Lord who commands that those who teach this good news of the coming kingdom of our Father are to live by it. So they have a right to expect to be paid for their work. Now, it doesn't have to be exorbitant with lots of jewelries and diamonds and fancy planes, but they do have a right to be paid. And our Father has set up a system in order for them to receive this payment. And that's usually based on tithing. Okay. With this system, we're able to keep the feast and help poor people. Some will try to say that, I've lost my place. So, is the tithing system for us today? I believe it is. I think it's a system here that helps us to keep the feast days. It also helps us to take care of those that are in need. Who did I say to read Deuteronomy 14:22-7? Anna, would you please read that? Yeah, 22-27. So as you can see by these verses, we're not talking about the same thing of a tithe that was given to the Levites as an inheritance. This is entirely something different. This is for you. It's for your family. It's for you to enjoy, to go and fellowship not only with other brethren, but with our Father, where he places his name during the Feast of Sukkot or all the other feast days. This system even provides for the poor. You know, I've only talked about two tithes. You know, you got the first tithe you're supposed to give the Levites and the priest. And by the way, the Levites were supposed to give a tenth of their money to the priest. So it was a tithing system that was based on everybody working and being paid. But even though, just when you think things couldn't get better, there's also a third tithe, which was given every third year. And This is in Deuteronomy 26, 12 to 14. Who was going to read that? Thank you. Some will try to say that this third tithe year is your first tithe that goes to the fatherless, the widows, the strangers, the Levites. But I want you to remember in Numbers 18:21, there's no mention of the fatherless, the widows, or the stranger when Aaron is told that the tithe is his inheritance to the children of Levi. So let's go back to where I'm going, that tithing has a deeper meaning. We have just come back from the Feast of Sukkot, which is a rehearsal for the things to come. Please read Colossians 2, 16 to 17. Okay. You can read it, Ann. Each year, we start a cycle of Moeds. We go through Passover, Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, Trumpets, Atonement, Sukkot, the eighth day. Honey, what's the eighth day called?
Shemitah.
Thank you. And not to forget the weekly rehearsal of the Sabbath. Why do we have all these rehearsals? Why do soldiers train? Why do dancers rehearse? Don't they get better? You notice the people that dance with my bride, as they practice each and every week, they get better every week. The more someone rehearses what they do, the less they have to think about what they're doing. But if we don't have to tithe anymore because there's no temple and priesthood, then there's no reason to keep the Sabbath or the feast days. I suggest that these rehearsals, which we go through weekly and yearly, are to be kept. They teach us the plan of our Father to help us become more like our older brother Yeshua. But without the tithing system, the people would not have the means or any of the things that we, would not have the means for any of the things that we do. No teachers, no place to meet, no way to help those that are poor, and no way for you to become like our Father, a giver. So, I need you to ask yourself the question, is it okay to steal from your Creator? Today I say, choose blessings and not cursings. Choose life and not death. All right, any questions?